Good morning. We missed a couple announcements. Saturday night, Christmas Eve, we're going to be showing the video, The Star of Bethlehem. And if you've been attending this church for any length of time, you've seen it before. Because we do it every year. And we're going to keep doing it every year. The Star of Bethlehem. Oh, what time? We never said. Show up early. Probably 7 o'clock. Does that sound about right? I hadn't thought about what time. What time do we normally do it? I don't remember. I've got a real good memory. It just doesn't last very long. About 5 minutes. Look, a squirrel. A chipmunk. Oh. I brought in a copy of the lyrics to a song this morning that is kind of a... Oh, the song is Chipmunks Roasting on an Open Fire, but... I don't know if we're going to do that or not. No. Christmas. What a wonderful time of year. Oh, but Jesus wasn't born on the 25th of December. When do you think he was born? Springtime? Actually, most people think that he was born during the Feast of Tabernacles. Which would be the end of, like in September. It's usually when it is. But if he was born then he would have been conceived around December 25th. Does the date really matter? I look at December 25th as the coldest, darkest, emptiest, loneliest time of year. I look at when Jesus Christ was born after what, almost 500 years without hearing from a prophet as the coldest, darkest, emptiest, loneliest time of history. So I think it's perfect. But that's my opinion. I have for you today several questions to consider. Each question begins with the words, why is it important? Each one of these questions has an individual answer. But each share the same main answer. I'll give you the main answer first. Luke 24:44, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. John 19:24, and you're going to find this all through the New Testament. But I'm going to give you a couple examples from John 19. That the scripture might be fulfilled. John 19:28, that the scripture might be fulfilled. John 19:36, that the scripture might be fulfilled. God keeps his word. God keeps his promises. In Joshua 23 and also in 1 Kings, it says almost an identical verse that not one thing has failed to happen that God said would happen. Has he ever been wrong about anything to you? His word is true. Jesus was talked about all through the Old Testament. All through the Old Testament. Okay, question number one. Why is it important that Jesus didn't just pop into existence as a full-grown man? He could have done that. Just stepped out of heaven and just come to earth. Isaiah 9:6 says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Why did he have to start as a baby? Because Jesus had to experience every part of earthly life. Why? Hebrews 4:15, "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." 1 John 3:8, "For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." Why is it important that Jesus was born in Bethlehem? Micah 5:2, "For thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting." Who's that sound like? Who's the only one that's from everlasting? Bethlehem, little tiny town. The way it's pronounced in Hebrew is Bet Lechem. Bet means house, la means of, chem means bread. House of bread. John 6:32-33. "My Father giveth you the true bread from heaven, for the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world." And Jesus, verse 35, "And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger." Verse 48, "I am that bread of life." Verse 50, "This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die." 51, "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." 1 Corinthians 11:23-24, "The Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Bethlehem was also where the lambs for the temple sacrifices were raised. The shepherd, when a lamb was born, the shepherd would go out and they would inspect it. They would make sure it was without spot or wrinkle, that it didn't have any deformities, that it didn't have any bruises, that it didn't have anything wrong with it. It had to be perfect. What did the shepherds do when Jesus was born? They went to check it out, didn't they? The baby lambs were wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger. That was to keep it from, that was to bind up its arms, so that it didn't swing its arms around and bruise itself. Jesus was wrapped in swaddling clothes, wasn't he? Why is it important that Jesus was born of the house of David? Genesis 49:8-12 was our opening scripture. "Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down. He couched as a lion, as an old lion. Who shall rouse him up? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Binding his foal unto the vine, and his ass's colt unto the choice vine. He washed his garments in wine, and his clothes in the blood of grapes. His eyes shall be red with wine, and his teeth white with milk. The king of Israel had to be from the tribe of Judah. The scepter shall not depart until Shiloh comes. The literal meaning of the word Shiloh is whose it is or to whom it belongs. Who's that? Who does everything belong? Jesus Christ. He's talking about Jesus. Had to come from the tribe of Judah. The king was supposed to be from the tribe of Judah. I know what you're probably thinking. You're thinking, well, what about Saul? Saul was from the tribe of Benjamin. He was the first king. They were demanding a king. And God sometimes will give us what we ask for, even if it's not the best thing for us. And that's what happened here. Because it wasn't time yet for a king to come from the tribe of Judah. In the book of Ruth, chapter 4, verses 18 through 22, there's a genealogy. Now, these are the generations of Perez. Perez was an illegitimate son of Judah. Perez begot Hezron, and Hezron begot Ram, and Ram begot Amminadab, and Amminadab begot Nashon, and Nashon begot Salmon, and Salmon begot Boaz, and Boaz begot Obed, and Obed begot Jesse, and Jesse begot David. Why is that important? You've got to remember, everything in the Bible is important. If you count the generations, there's 10 generations. And as I said, Perez was illegitimate. There had to be 10 generations before any one of his descendants could be king. David had to wait. They had to wait a few years for David. In the meantime, there was Saul. Saul was too early. You know, Pastor Mike used to talk about there's a spirit, or there's a flesh that comes first, and then there's a spirit. And we see that with Saul and David. Sometimes we try to go after that which is flesh. We need to wait for that which is spirit. So it had to be from the tribe of Judah. And in 2 Samuel chapter 7, David was given a promise about his descendants. David wanted to build a house for the Lord. God said no. You're a man of war. You've shed too much blood. It's going to be your son that's going to build the temple. He's going to be a king of peace. He was talking about Solomon. Solomon was a king of peace. But he's also talking further down the line. He's talking about Jesus Christ. Because he promised David that a descendant of his would be sitting on his throne forever. Now, who's going to sit on a throne forever? Solomon didn't. Jesus Christ. Why is it important that Jesus was born of a virgin? Matthew 1:16, and Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. The word whom, as is rendered here, is in Hebrew is a female pronoun. It's not talking about Joseph. It's talking about Mary. Genesis 3:15, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. It's another promise about the Messiah. Females don't have seeds. So what did it mean by her seed? It means it had to be a virgin birth. All the way back in Genesis. Isaiah 7:14, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. God with us. In several places in the Bible, we're given a general statement telling us that the sins of the parents are passed on to the children. But in Exodus 34:7 and a few other places, the statement is more specific. Exodus 34:7 says, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and to the fourth generation. Father. It's easy to find in Strong's Concordance. It's number one. Hebrew word for it is Ab, A-W-B. And we use that in the word Abba, Father. So what it's saying is that the sins of the fathers are passed on. Who is Jesus' father? God. If it had been Joseph, then there would have been sin. You could live your life a perfect life. Never sin, and yet you'd still be a sinner. I don't think there's anybody in here that's ever lived a perfect life. We try, though, don't we? We're supposed to. But even if you did that, you'd still be a sinner because your father probably didn't live a perfect life. And even if he did, his father wouldn't have lived a perfect life. And even if he did, his father probably didn't live a perfect life. Because the sins of the father is what makes us, along with our sins, of course, makes us sinner. But Jesus' father was perfect. He became sin for us. He literally became the sin offering for us. It's the same Hebrew word. He became our guilt. He became the guilt offering for us. Once again, guilt offering and guilt is the same Hebrew word. What do you want for Christmas? What? What do you want for Christmas? Similarly, very similarly, or it should be anyway, what do you want to give Jesus for Christmas? What'd you say? Worship? What does he want? He wants worship. Like that song we sang, I will give you all my worship. I will give you all my praise. All of it. That's everything we do. We give to him. But when we do that, what are we giving him? Us. What does he want for Christmas? What does he want from you? He wants you. Now, we get distracted. Sometimes we wander off a little bit. And yes, he comes and gets those that are lost, that are his. But yet there's times sometimes when we maybe go too far, or maybe we don't like where we've gone to. Times like that, we need to stop, look around, see where we are, and return. That's what the word repent means. It means to return. It means to come back. Change your direction. I had somebody, never mind. We can give Jesus ourselves this morning. And yes, Christmas is next Sunday. But There's a song that talks about 12 days of Christmas, so I guess we could celebrate pretty much any time, any date, number of days we want. Because it is a season. It is a time when we think about Jesus. It's a time when the world thinks about Jesus. If there wasn't a Christmas this time of year, look at all the people that wouldn't hear the gospel. For some people, that's the only gospel they hear. Jesus wants you. That involves commitment. That involves rededicating your life sometimes. I'm going to ask everybody to bow their heads and close their eyes, and I'm going to ask you not to look around. Is that you? Have you wandered off? Maybe you strayed just a little bit. Sheep are funny animals. We're his sheep. We'll be munching on a patch of grass, and we'll look over a little ways away, and we'll see another patch of grass, and we'll go over and we'll think that's better. And then we'll look up and we'll see another one a little further away, and we'll go to that one. And before we know it, where are we? We're lost. Not to the point where you can't find us. And we can wander off more than once. Is that you? Oh, you're in church this morning. Maybe you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior. Then that definitely is you. The things of the world. Got your attention. But Jesus wants to get your attention. Or maybe you received him as your Savior. And you wandered away. And you know it. You know that you're not quite right. If that's you, why don't you raise your hand? By raising your hand, you're telling Jesus that you need him more. I see several hands up. If you want to, you can come forward and we'll pray for you. I'll let you in on a little secret. That's me too. I don't think I've ever been happy with where I am with the Lord. Because we can't be happy with where we are. Doesn't mean you're a bad person. You're probably a very good person. He told Peter, after you are converted, strengthen your brother. After you have repented, after you have turned. I know there's more in here. Thank you, Lord. You don't need the microphone on, Lord. I'll turn it on anyway. Thank you, Lord. Lord, there's other lives here that you're touching this morning. May it continue to hear your voice. What a joy. What a joy. Speak to our hearts, Lord. We give you permission to tell us anything that we need to be told. And Lord, may it always be about you. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. Bless your people today, Lord. And Lord, bring us back safe when we meet again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. That concludes our service. Thank you for coming.